Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Total Energy Services Inc. First Quarter Results Conference Call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Daniel Halyk, President and Chief Executive Officer of Total Energy Services Inc. Please go ahead, Mr. Halyk.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter conference call. Present with me this afternoon is Yuliya Gorbosh, Total's Vice President, Finance and Chief Financial Officer. We will review with you Total's financial and operating highlights for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2016, and then provide an outlook for our business and open up the phone lines for any questions. Please go ahead, Yuliya.
Thank you, Dan. During the course of this conference call, information may be provided containing forward-looking information concerning Total's projected operating results, anticipated capital expenditure trends, and projected drilling activity in the oil and gas industry. Actual events or results may differ materially from those reflected in Total's forward-looking statements due to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors affecting Total's business and the oil and gas service industry in general. These risks, uncertainties, and other factors are described under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in Total's most recently filed annual information form and other documents filed with Canadian provincial securities authorities that are available to the public at www.sedar.com. Our discussions during this conference call are qualified with reference to the notes to the financial highlights contained in the news release issued earlier today. Unless otherwise indicated, all financial information in this conference call is presented in Canadian dollars. Total's financial results for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2016 reflect a very challenging operating environment. Consolidated revenues for the first quarter of 2016 were $50 million, a 46% decrease from the first quarter of 2015. Compression and process service contributed 71% of 2016 first quarter revenues, rental and transportation services 22%, and contact drilling services 7%, as compared to relative contributions of 62%, 32%, and 6% in 2015. Revenue per spot to release operating day in our contract drilling division during the first quarter was $16,260, an 18% decrease from the $19,888 per day realized during 2015. Decreased day rate pricing was the primary reason for this decrease. Divisional EBITDA was $0.8 million, or 25% of revenue, for the first quarter of 2016, compared to $1.7 million, or 32% of revenue, for Q1 of 2015. Within the rental and transportation services division, severe price competition resulted in significant declines in equipment utilization and divisional revenue. First quarter rental equipment utilization decreased 61% to 15% in 2016, compared to 38% in 2015. Divisional revenue per utilized piece of rental equipment for the first quarter of 2016 decreased 5% compared to the same period in 2015. Divisional EBITDA for the first quarter of 2016 was $1.4 million, or 13% of revenue, compared to $10.5 million, or 35% of revenue, in 2015. Despite ongoing efforts to reduce operating costs, the significant fixed cost structure of this division contributed to the fact that for the first time ever, this division was not profitable during the first quarter, which is typically its busiest quarter. First quarter revenue within our compression and process services division decreased 38% in the first quarter of 2016 compared to 2015. This division generated $3.3 million of EBITDA in the first quarter of 2016 compared to $10.7 million in 2015. Divisional first quarter EBITDA margins declined by 940 basis points as compared to 2015 due to 71% decrease in quarter end compression horsepower on rent as well as competitive pricing. This division exited the first quarter of 2016 with $49.4 million backlog of fabrication sales orders as compared to $86.6 million at March 31, 2015, and $48.9 million at December 31, 2015. Included in the March 31, 2016 and December 31, 2015 backlog is $8.1 million order purported to be canceled without payment of the prescribed cancellation fee, and no revenue has or will be recorded in respect of such order until resolution. Consolidated gross margin for the first quarter of 2016 was 21% of revenue, compared to 32% for 2015. The lower gross margin realized in 2016 compared to 2015 is a result of the contract drilling services and rental and transportation services divisions contributing a lower portion of consolidated revenue in 2016 as compared to 2015, as both divisions historically generate a higher gross margin rate than compression and process services division. Lower pricing in all three divisions during 2016 as compared to 2015 also contributed to lower realized gross margin. Consolidated cash flow before changes in non-cash working capital items was $5 million for the first quarter of 2016, as compared to $7.5 million in 2015. The decrease in cash flow was due primarily to decreased operating earnings, which was partially offset by reduced income tax payments. Consolidated EBITDA for the first quarter of 2016 was $4.3 million, an 80% decrease from 2015. Lower activity levels and resulting lower EBITDA margins in all divisions contributed to this decrease. Consolidated net loss for the 3 months ended March 31, 2016 was $2.1 million. Despite a continued focus on managing credit risk, the company recorded $0.2 million of provision for bad debt during the first quarter of 2016. We continue to monitor collectibility of accounts receivable and will continue to do so to minimize bad debt provision going forward. Also impacting 2016 first quarter financial results was the net unrealized foreign exchange loss of $0.8 million arising from foreign currency translations. This non-cash unrealized expense relates primarily to translation of working capital balances related to companies' foreign operations. Total Energy's financial condition remains very strong, with $87.7 million of positive working capital at March 31, 2016. Including company's working capital balance is $18 million, or 58 cents per share of cash and marketable securities, which is sufficient to fund the company's $10.8 million of annualized dividend and debt payments well into 2017. At March 31, 2016, the company had no net debt. Total bank debt at March 31, 2016 consists of a $48.3 million term loan that is secured by approximately 60% of our owned real estate. This debt is amortized over 20 years, bears interest at fixed annualized rate of 3.06%, and requires monthly principal and interest payments of $278,800. At the end of five-year term in May 2020, approximately $40.2 million of principal will be outstanding. With the exception of the real estate that secures this term loan, all of Total's capital assets are available to support future borrowings as might be required. Total $65 million operating line of credit was undrawn at March 31, 2016, and that remains the case today. Such operating line is secured by the company's working capital. Total bank covenants consist of debt-to-equity ratio of not greater than 2.5:1 and the current ratio of at least 1.3:1. At March 31st, 2016, total's debt-to-equity ratio was 0.1:1 and its current ratio was 4.05:1.
Thank you, Yulia. Our first quarter results reflect what is arguably the most difficult industry environment faced by Total Energy since we commenced operations in 1997. The decline in North American oil and natural gas drilling and completion activity that began in 2014 accelerated during the first 3 months of 2016, defying the Canadian seasonal upswing in oil field activity that typically occurs during the winter months. This difficult environment has led to what we have characterized as a dysfunctional market in certain of Total's business lines. Evidence supporting our characterization includes unsustainable pricing, cannibalization of equipment, and willingness to take excessive counterparty credit risk, which in turn is leading to business failures. With no clear and substantial improvement to industry conditions in near sight, we fully expect business failures in our industry to accelerate over the next few months. In such circumstances, Total Energy has elected to remain disciplined so as to preserve its equipment base, minimize operating losses, and protect its financial strength and flexibility. Simply put, Total will not pursue unprofitable work, cannibalize its equipment fleet, recklessly extend trade credit, or procure its goods and services from insolvent suppliers, hoping to get a cheaper price without getting caught up in a receivership situation, simply to enhance near-term equipment utilization or generate headline EBITDA numbers to appease nearsighted expectations. Thankfully, there are many well-run companies in our industry that share this perspective, including many of our customers and suppliers. While these challenging industry conditions have made for a difficult operating environment, they have also given rise to numerous acquisition opportunities. We completed a small U.S. acquisition earlier this year and continue to work on several opportunities, with new opportunities being presented almost on a daily basis. Total is focused on opportunities to grow our existing business lines, with a particular focus on the United States, where we have just scratched the surface in our rental and transportation services and compression and process services divisions. While we will remain disciplined in our pursuit of acquisition opportunities, I would be surprised and disappointed if we are not able to complete any further acquisitions during the remainder of this year. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our employees for their continued perseverance and effort. While this downturn has been brutal, and at times it may be tempting to give up, our employees are not quitters, and I'm very proud of their continued effort to do their best to provide our customers with quality equipment and exceptional service. Finally, I'd like to encourage all of our shareholders and other stakeholders to attend Total Energy's annual meeting of shareholders on Thursday, May 19th at the Calgary Petroleum Club. I would now like to open up the phone lines for any questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. The first question is from Michael Lee from Hypot News Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Julia.
Hi, Michael.
So I'm just curious about the pace of acquisitions here, and clearly it sounds like there are plenty of opportunities being presented to you, and you seem a little bit frustrated about not having completed more. I'm just curious, is the lack of consummation of transactions a result of valuation expectations being too high from the sellers, or is there too much bid activity from other buyers, or are your expectations in terms of the assets you're looking for just not being met?
First of all, our expectations are reasonable, Michael. I hope I didn't come across as frustrated. We're extremely busy right now, and the deal flow has never been higher. We are screening a lot of opportunities. We've been extremely busy doing that. Obviously, we've got to run our business too. There's some valuation differences. In a lot of cases, the underlying asset base quality is not great. And so when we look at something, we look at the quality of the asset base, what the expectations are, and how much money we have to put into it to bring that equipment to our standards. And if the money we have to pay plus the bring it up to our standards capital doesn't make sense, we won't do it. In some cases, frankly, you know, we're seeing competitors work their stuff hard, and we'd rather compete against it than own it. And typically that stuff ends up at Ritchie Brothers. I would be surprised if we don't get another deal done. You know, we're working hard, and there are, I would say, expectations have come off. I think the a good shakedown like this reinforces our views on capital discipline, and it's probably caused a lot of investors in the sector that haven't perhaps been as disciplined to reevaluate how they look at valuation, because now we're experiencing the bottom half of the cycle. And so, you know, we've always invested with the full cycle in mind. And, you know, I think this type of environment facilitates a bit more of that perspective. So, again, we're not frustrated. Like I said, I'd be surprised if we don't get a few things done here, and we're working hard to do that.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The following question is from Ian Gillies from First Energy. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. Or afternoon, I guess. Lost
by
the rainy season. Wanted to talk a bit about the Compression and Process Services division. I mean, revenue was reasonably flat quarter over quarter, but we saw some, I guess, margin compression there. Can you give a bit of an update of what's happening in that business and why we may have seen that quarter over quarter?
Sure. Look at the rental fleet. You know, the utilization has come off. Clearly, that's, you know, your highest margin business within that division. And, you know, what we're seeing with low gas prices is people not, you know, they're not producing as much. And so rental fleet utilization is down. You know, the beauty of all of this, though, a good portion of our compression rental fleet is nomads. And as tough as it is to watch fleet utilization suffer in a tough market, this is the best sales and marketing opportunity that division could ever have for the nomad. Because, and particularly for nomad rentals. Now, a lot of those go out on term contracts. You know, they go month to month thereafter. And they're so easy to return and cheap, and there's no strings attached. So my expectation is with the recovery in the gas markets, including with our expansion geographically, there's going to be good demand, particularly for nomads, because this market has shown the customer that it's probably willing to pay a little bit more for a nomad rental, because when you need to shut it down, you can, and you can do it cheap and fast. In terms of overall, you know, we're seeing on the parts and service side, definitely groups deferring maintenance and overhauls. And listen, price competition is fierce. You know, but similar to all of our businesses, you know, we've got to be competitive, but in certain cases, and I would say more on the lower end of the field parts and service, the service side, oil changes and that, there's just simply groups out there that work for cheap, and you just kind of pass on that stuff. But, you know, we maintain an extensive parts inventory and extensive network. And a lot of the mom and pop simply can't compete with that, and you know, so there's always room for you know, a group like ourselves. But you know, I'm pleased with how that division has managed its costs. It's again, you know, every division's different. Our rigs are, you know, the lowest fixed costs, our rentals the highest, compression process somewhere in the middle, and they're all working to be as competitive as they can and not do too much damage here.
Okay, thanks.
Does that help?
Yeah, no, that's very helpful, and actually makes a lot of sense. And the other thing you mentioned is looking at compression and process in the U.S. Is there a specific area, whether it be fabrication or rentals, or that you would prefer to be in the U.S. moving forward?
We're being reasonably tight hole there. You know, we're there already, and we're there with parts and service. And we hope to be larger down there within a year. You know, a year from now, I hope to have a larger presence down there.
Okay, that's helpful. I'll leave it there.
You know, I don't want to speculate too much, but we're working pretty hard on different things. So.
Okay. And one of the constant themes we've heard through Q1 is that the big bid activity has picked up quite a bit on the drilling side. Is this something you would agree with?
You know, certainly, let me put it this way. We haven't fired any of our sales guys, and hopefully they're getting busier because they got off easy in Q1, and, you know, I'm hoping Q2 they'll have to work a little harder.
Okay. I'll turn the call back over. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. The next question is from John Morrison from CIBC World Markets. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, all.
Hi, John.
Specific to the rentals platform, was the pricing pressure in Q1 meaningfully different than it was in Q4? And as you think about pricing coming down in that market, has it been the customer making asks for more concessions at this point, or has it just been straight competition as everyone's trying to get as much work as they can?
You know, I think it's, I would say it's flattened out a little bit. The good news, John, is there's a lot of groups going broke in that business, both sides of the border. And you're seeing Ritchie Brothers full of trucks, rental equipment, and that's going to continue. The other thing we're seeing, and it's probably a little more coming out of the queue, first of all, listen, it was a slow quarter, so you got a lot of equipment chasing not a lot of work. You know, the other thing we're seeing is with the dry conditions, you know, it's holding up some completion work due to a shortage of water. The flip side is what we're seeing, particularly with larger, I'd call it perhaps more sophisticated customers, is they are clearly shrinking their supply chain, and that is benefiting companies like Total. Now, again, it's not like there's 600 rigs going, but we are definitely seeing increased demand from typically larger, sophisticated companies asking us to go into areas that we haven't really done a whole bunch before in addition to what our core business is. And my sense is that a few of them have probably got caught up in receiverships and aren't too happy about that and do not want to have that happen again. And in fact, I do know that when we're bidding projects in all divisions, we're increasingly being asked to provide comfort on the financial side. Now, you know, a lot of these groups don't know kind of what the corporate parent is, and so in some cases, divisions have been asked for performance bonds, and we turn around and show them our public company statements, and that sufficed. In a couple cases on fabrication, we provided corporate guarantees because performance bonds aren't free, and that sufficed. But the fact that they're asking those questions, to me, that's a positive.
Does pursuing those opportunities that you mentioned that you haven't been in the past require incremental CapEx? From your perspective?
We spent a little bit of money here.
Okay. Have you been active at auctions in the last, call it, 6 weeks?
Yes.
Of material scale or size, or you'd prefer not to say?
We won't disclose, but we picked up some nice equipment for reasonable price.
Okay. Going over to the compression and process side of the business, specifically on the product support, have your door rates meaningfully changed in the last 6 months? Given the fall off in activity for basic maintenance work?
Door rates. So you're talking
service rates on an hourly basis or service call rates?
Yeah, you know, we're depending on the job, your book rates are your book rates. You know, on larger projects, you're bidding it, and so, you know, a lot of the big stuff, you're bidding it, and we're sharpening our pencils. But again, consistent with all divisions, we have certain lines, and we won't cross those.
Have you seen competitors go away on that side of the business on the mom-and-pop side, or it seems like most of those guys will all make it through the trough?
Yeah, we've seen not just mom-and-pop. We've seen big ones, particularly in the process side.
On the fabrication side, are you seeing any material cancellations out of the backlog above what you referenced in the lease or in the release about the one customer?
No.
What about renegotiations or deferrals? Are you seeing guys ultimately say, can we defer by 3 to 6 months and therefore we should be thinking about it taking you longer to chew through your backlog than is normal?
No. If anything, we're the ones managing to keep labor, load level on the labor front. But no, we're not. The good thing in this, Mark, is you have those frank discussions before they order.
Okay.
And so, you know, when a customer is placing an order in this market, you know, they need it.
Is it fair to assume then the embedded margins that you guys have booked in your backlog aren't astronomically different than what you've realized over the last couple quarters?
We're not going to comment. That'll come out in due course. But again, I'm happy with how these guys are running their business.
Okay. Last one just for me, just on the small $200,000 provision that you guys took in the quarter, was that based on just DSOs getting over a certain limit that you didn't feel comfortable carrying it, or ultimately you perceive there to be an insolvency from that customer? I'm just wondering what drives you to take a realized charge like that.
I can tell you we spend a lot of time divisionally and corporately, A, upfront managing credit extension, and B, monitoring AR collections. And where if we have reasonable doubts about collectability, we will provision.
Okay. All right. I appreciate the color. I'll turn it back.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting back over to Mr. Halleck.
Thank you. Appreciate your participating in our conference call, and I hope to see a few of you at our annual meeting next Thursday. Thanks, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.